This is the Morning Magazine for Friday, April 30th, 2021. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Coming up on today's program, we'll get the latest update on the state of the pandemic in Colorado. We'll also hear about the CU Faculty Assembly's vote to censure the university president. And immigrants' rights activists are calling on President Joe Biden and on Congress to pass a series of measures to reform the immigration system. Connections is coming up at 8:30, and then a morning of eclectic music starts at 9:30, so keep your dial tuned. And now, look at the headlines. Colorado lawmakers introduced three more gun bills at the state capitol Thursday. Supporters of the measures say they're needed to address the root causes of last month's mass shooting at Boulder's King Supers grocery store. That brings the number of gun bills introduced to six. The newest proposals call for the creation of an Office of Gun Violence Prevention aimed at strengthening the background check process. They would also allow local governments to pass gun laws that go beyond what the state has passed. Republicans say the bills aren't necessary and lawmakers should instead focus on mental health. A bipartisan group of lawmakers at the federal level is introducing a package of bills to make age-appropriate adjustments to the way children and teens are treated in the federal criminal justice system. The reforms include ending sentences of life without parole for minors, establishing a minimum age for prosecuting children, and protecting their due process rights at the point of arrest, among others. Elizabeth Clark, who leads the Juvenile Justice Initiative, says it's encouraging that the federal government is taking a close look at the human rights of children.
It's time to dismantle punitive provisions in the federal and state laws and rebuild the progressive and restorative system of justice that was enshrined a century ago when the U.S. designed the world's first juvenile court and was a leader in human rights for children.
In 2019, of the more than 700,000 children across the country who were arrested, more than 200,000 were 14 or younger. More than 75,000 minors were prosecuted in the adult system. More than 80% of them were people of color, according to a report from Human Rights for Kids. The Faculty Assembly at CU Boulder has voted to censure University President Mark Kennedy over what they perceive as failed leadership on the issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion. We'll have more on that story during the Morning Magazine, coming up after headlines. Meanwhile, a visiting CU conservative scholar who participated in a rally in Washington, D.C. ahead of the U.S. Capitol insurrection is preparing to sue the university. John Eastman filed a notice of claim Thursday, a prerequisite to a lawsuit. He is alleging the university defamed and retaliated against him after the January 6th event by canceling his classes, denying him public speaking opportunities, and eliminating his representation duties at the Benson Center for the Study of Western Civilization. Eastman is seeking almost $2 million in damages, including 10 years of pay at $185,000 per year for reputational harm. Eastman's remarks at the early January rally for then-President Donald Trump included unproven claims of widespread fraud in the 2020 presidential election and drew condemnation from university and community leaders. The year-long pandemic has left many of us with a bit more time on our hands, and in Boulder, that has resulted in an increased number of people making composting a priority. KGNU's Steve Miller has more.
Newly released trash collection data for 2020 shows that 53% of citywide waste was kept out of the landfills through recycling, composting, or reuse. Compared to 2019, this represents a 3% increase of diverted waste. The city of Boulder also had an 8% decrease in the total volume of waste community members sent to landfills. Not only does this indicate the city is reducing landfill waste and improving rates of recycling and composting, but also in driving down total waste per capita, which is more representative of consumer behavior. The shift from office work to working from home showed up in reductions in waste pickups at commercial sites and increases in residential waste collection. The city also paused the bag ban at grocery stores and saw an increase in the use of disposable, one-time-use products like masks and sanitizing items. To address these concerns, the city launched programs like funding for sustainable takeout containers to support community recovery and help local restaurants to adapt better materials management. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Finally, you will soon be able to buy local meat in Colorado straight from the producer. Governor Jared Polis on Thursday signed a bill that allows people to buy shares of cattle, pigs, and sheep before they're butchered. Such sales already are common in some parts of Colorado, and the bill only formalizes the process. Producers will have to inform customers the meat has not been inspected by the government, so customers can't sue should they get sick. Weather for the Front Range today, sunny skies and a high around 80 degrees today and tomorrow. Then returning to seasonable temperatures on Sunday with an 80% chance of rain and a high of 65. More rain is also in the forecast Monday through Wednesday next week. Right now, outside our Boulder studios, it's 54 degrees. The pace of the pandemic in Colorado continues to pit the speed of vaccinations against the spread of variants. In a press call yesterday, Dr. Eric France, chief medical officer of the Colorado Department of Public Health and the Environment, said the state's fourth wave is hitting unvaccinated adults the hardest.
We're in an interesting spot with hospitalizations. Of course, it's the unvaccinated middle-aged persons in Colorado who are filling the hospital beds. It's not the older Coloradans that are now thankfully vaccinated. Death rates don't seem to be rising significantly. So it's a transition wave as a fourth wave in that regard.
Demand for appointments has slightly dropped in recent weeks, though healthcare providers continue to administer between 40 and 50,000 shots a day. That's down from around 60,000 doses a day. That said, more than 50% of eligible adults have received a first dose in Colorado. What's thought to be driving the state's fourth wave is the spread of the B.1.1.7 variant, first identified in the UK. State epidemiologist Dr. Rachel Herlihy explains what genomic sequencing efforts have found.
The way that we are tracking the proportion of variants that are occurring in Colorado right now is through a sentinel network. So this is a random sample of specimens from across the state that are sent to our state laboratory for sequencing. And based on that random sample, we are able to estimate what proportion of positives in the state are due to one variant versus another. And so that's really where we're trying to understand what that proportion looks like. And here in Colorado, it looks like the proportion of B.1.1.7 or UK variant specimens that are coming back is probably around 50%. And we've seen that number continue to go up over time. We know that the B.1.1.7 or UK variant is more transmissible. There's some data that also suggests that it could be causing more severe illness. So at this point, even if the variant is just more transmissible, that means it's causing more cases. It's infecting more people. That's contributing to more hospitalizations in the state and potentially more deaths in the state as well at this time.
State health authorities say Colorado is reaching a point at which available vaccine supply is starting to outpace demand. CDPHE's Dr. France says the goal now is to make access to the shots more convenient.
What can we do to bring the vaccines to persons' workplace, where they shop, their neighborhoods? Make it very simple for those who've put it off, but seeing it just out there in front of them would be happy to walk over and get vaccinated. We'll be working at the state with local community organizations, local public health agencies, and of course, primary care doctors to get vaccination in a more convenient location for people.
France says they've recently adjusted the vaccine distribution model to send more doses to areas where demand is higher, instead of continuing to distribute to regions where vaccines are sitting on shelves. The state has also recently opened vaccination sites accepting walk-ins. Information on the site nearest you is available at covid19.colorado.gov. You're listening to The Morning Magazine on Community Radio KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. University of Colorado President Mark Kennedy has been a controversial choice since he was hired in 2019. Yesterday, 50 faculty members representing different campus departments gathered to consider a resolution to censure Kennedy for actions and comments around diversity, equity, and inclusion. KGNU's Roz Brown has the story.
From the day Mark Kennedy was announced as the lone finalist to become the 23rd president of the University of Colorado, the former Republican congressman has drawn fire for issues around diversity, equity, and inclusion. While serving in Congress from 2001 until 2007, he supported a constitutional gay marriage ban, backed the effort to restrict abortion rights as well as funding for women's reproductive health care, and wanted to require that schoolchildren recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Despite substantial pushback from students, faculty, and staff, it did not alter a party-line vote to hire him in 2019, with five Republican regents voting in favor and the four Democratic regents opposed. 2 years later, the Faculty Assembly has voted 35-20 to censure Kennedy. Chair of the Assembly, Bob Ferry, explains how the vote came about.
I mean, it came in originally as a letter with some critical points in it that was asking to be made into a resolution. And so our bylaws require that if a member of the Boulder Faculty Assembly calls for a resolution, then I look at it. The chair has a lot of power here. If it's scurrilous or illegal or something, then no, it's not going to. But almost without any reflection, any filter, the chair puts it in front of the assembly as a notice of motion to be considered for a month and then voted on at the subsequent meeting.
Leaders of the various CU departments represented by the assembly then held discussions with staff to get their opinions. During a virtual call Thursday, Deborah Palmer with the School of Education explained why she favored the resolution.
We're a fairly large unit. I think there were maybe 60 people in the room for the conversation, with a rich conversation followed with a vote. And interestingly, our colleagues in the School of Education voted, I think it was unanimous, in favor of this motion. So I too will vote in favor of the motion.
Faculty has cited concerns about some hurtful statements from Kennedy, including using the term Trail of Tears as an analogy about CU's efforts to succeed at online education. As president, he also has led an effort to vet campus statements on race, LGBTQ issues, and climate change through his office. Philosophy professor Alastair Norcross called into question Kennedy's ability to lead the university.
The main reason I'm personally in favor of the motion is that I think this is really a matter of proactive leadership, and proactive leadership is what we haven't seen. And so I see this motion as saying this is a really important issue, and so far you have not shown that you are the right person to take charge of this issue.
Earlier this month, representatives of CUSG, the CU student government, also voted unanimously to censure Kennedy. Tri-executive Molly Frommelt represented their views at yesterday's meeting.
Because I think we have the right to, I think, base a character off of someone who, for example, consistently votes against legalizing same-sex marriage. But not only that, his just, I think, unwillingness to learn and actively become engaged in a lot of these topics of diversity, equity, and inclusion specifically. This lack of proactivity was what was a really, really, really big issue of concern for us. But also this specific censure coming from CUSG is because of the constituents that we have heard directly from in feeling that they have not been supported, that they have not been heard, and that they have a president who does not equitably address the needs of our underserved and marginalized students.
In his defense, CU said the institution has completed diversity initiatives under Kennedy's tenure, including hiring the first chief diversity officer, also requesting funds from the CU Foundation for Diversity Efforts, and supporting legislation to provide in-state tuition for Indigenous tribal members. At the same time, CU Regent Sue Sharkey, who championed Kennedy's hiring, posted on Facebook that the Boulder faculty has an agenda to attack Kennedy because, quote, he dares to be a Republican in their leftist institution. As chairman, Ferry believes the faculty assembly is doing its job to protect the university's reputation.
We can take a really serious issue like whether the president of the university is a good leader in something that matters more all the time and matters a lot to most of us. But at the end of the day, the resolution gave the faculty on the campus a chance to discuss Kennedy's leadership or lack of leadership on DEI. And that was valuable. And the message is, we can do this. The faculty is capable. Faculty governance works. The BFA is good. But the specifics of the resolution, Mark Kennedy, you need to do a better job. Or if you can't, then maybe the regents should think twice about extending your contract. That's where the value is, I think, in sending a fairly strong, even if the vote's mixed, like I say, the message is you haven't done the job on this one. If you don't believe in diversity, well, yeah, then the faculty's all a bunch of lefties. But if you have any sense of what the world might look like if it were a little better than it is, then we want more Black faculty. We want more Hispanic students. We got to do important things, you know, make a difference. Either he's taken us nowhere or he's taken us a step back.
The Board of Regents meets in June for its first evaluation of Kennedy since the Regents flipped to a Democratic majority in January. For KGNU, I'm Roz Brown.
The Colorado Health Insurance Option Plan, HB 1232, passed through its first committee this week. The compromise bill no longer includes a Phase 2 plan to create a quasi-governmental health insurance option if insurance companies cannot meet cost reduction goals on their own. Eric Galatis has more.
The Colorado Health Insurance Option Plan cleared the House Health and Insurance Committee this week, but the measure looks considerably different than the bill introduced in mid-March. Adam Fox with the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative says HB 1232 is necessary because too many Coloradans either can't afford health insurance or can't use their coverage due to high out-of-pocket costs. He says the revised proposal still can help reduce insurance premiums and increase access to health care.
By essentially requiring the cost reductions and premium reductions to be achieved on these standardized benefit plans. And those will provide more robust access to care and more reasonable out-of-pocket costs.
If insurance companies and health providers can't lower costs on their own within 3 years, the state would have the authority to set rates on a limited basis to meet consumer savings targets. The compromise measure drops plans to create a quasi-governmental insurance option, but would create a standardized health insurance plan structure. Critics say the measure puts too much of the cost-cutting burden on hospitals and other care providers. Fox says HB 1232 spells out reasonable reimbursement rates designed to ensure that health providers remain sustainable, but limits their ability to overcharge Coloradans for care. He says the measure should help protect Colorado consumers.
Colorado has some of the highest hospital costs in the country and also some of the most profitable hospital systems in the country. And so this is really starting to control those underlying costs.
Fox adds the proposal includes benchmarks to improve racial health equity. For example, the standardized plan could boost perinatal coverage for care before and after a child's birth, a move Fox says can help reduce racial disparities in infant mortality rates. Standard coverage would also be available through private insurance carriers in every county in the state on the individual and small group market. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Immigrants' rights organizations are ramping up pressure on the Biden administration to take action on immigration reform measures. This includes holding events locally in the Front Range region. Advocates are holding a rally today in Longmont at 5:30 in Roosevelt Park, calling for a path to citizenship for the estimated 11 million undocumented residents in the U.S. And then there's a virtual public forum tomorrow, May 1st, in which four Democratic congressmen from Colorado answer questions about immigration reform. For more on what immigrant advocates are seeking, KGNU's Rosana Longo spoke with Laura Peniche from the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition.
Laura Peniche from CIRC, what are your positions and what are those six call to action that you have been bombarding us in all the emails and social media that you manage?
One is we want President Biden to immediately make good on his promise to stop the deportations. We want President Biden to close the detention facilities and end the use of private prisons in state and local jails to hold immigrants. We want President Biden to stop using police to help the mass deportation machine and to end the program that's called 287G, the Secure Communities Program, and the use of ICE detention within the jails. We're asking President Biden to close hundreds and thousands of pending deportation cases on the immigration court docket. People who are just waiting to know if they're going to be deported or not, but they belong with their families. So we want them to stay here with their families. We also are asking President Biden to adopt prosecutorial discretion guidelines that provide relief from hyper-criminalization. No more punishment for people who have something in the record that they already paid for, and we don't need to make them pay for their mistakes again. And the last one is allow people who are seeking asylum at the southern border to enter the country instead of being detained or turned away. These are the six demands that we have.
Laura Peniche with CERC. What are your thoughts about the DACA groups? Because it tends to be that everything gets politicized.
When I first started working in this movement, I used to advocate for the DREAM Act and for DREAMers. And this is how I came into this work, because I am what you would call a dreamer. However, now that I'm seeing so much suffering in the community for people who do not qualify for DACA or people who do not qualify for the DREAM Act, I feel like I'm done. I'm finished advocating for dreamers. I want to advocate for everyone, not just for dreamers, because we are all dreamers. Every single person that comes to this country, no matter if they're young or if they're old, if they're escaping or they just want a better life, we are all dreamers. And that's just how I feel right now. I want to advocate for everyone.
Do you think that with the COVID-19 pandemic exposing inequalities, this is a moment that something will really happen with this new administration? Is there hope?
There is. Definitely, this pandemic has taught us different lessons. And one of those lessons is nobody is above anybody else. We are all in this together. And I am so proud of our community, our undocumented essential workers who put us through this pandemic. They were coming out, doing their job and doing their best under really difficult situations. It is time that they get recognized for their contributions to this country and recognized as human beings. So I think that this is the moment, especially because we've seen, as you mentioned, so much inequality. It's time to really dig deep and see the structures of this country and what can we do to fix and shift so that it is truly the American dream is true for everyone. And it is not just for a few selected groups or races. I think that being virtual too and allowing us to connect virtually with different communities and all throughout the country, it's a great opportunity that for us to continue educating ourselves, to continue engaging with different communities that maybe we never spoke to before. I think it's the right time. I want to be cautious about being too hopeful sometimes, because I know that sometimes politicians make promises and they don't really prioritize real needs that we have. However, I do want to remain hopeful, because if I don't have hope, I don't have strength to keep going forward. So I have to remain hopeful, because there's no other way.
Thank you so much, Laura Peniche with CERC, talking about the 100 days of Biden's administration coming around and the groups of the immigrants coming together to request changes and a real reform.
That was Rosana Longo speaking with Laura Peniche of the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition. Thanks for tuning in to The Morning Magazine today on KGNU. I've been your host, Shannon Young.